It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
What I love about this show is the opportunity to have on guests who are part of Las Vegas, whether they're entertainers, writers, or personalities. And part of Las Vegas now, more than ever, is sports. It's also great to have sports guests who return to update us about this fast-moving city. One of those frequent guests is veteran journalist Ron Futrell, and he is 8 News Now sports anchor and reporter, and from my point of view, a great sports historian as well. And for everything about Ron, follow him on X at Ron Futrell and on YouTube at Vegas Sports. And Ron, welcome back to the show.
Ira, it is my pleasure. And if the communication from here at the International Space Station gets a little bit choppy, be patient, please.
Yes, exactly. And for our listeners who cannot see, evidently Ron is on the moon. He's happy as being on the moon just because of sports, but he's also looks like he's on the moon. So it's a great
moon. The moon.
You started here in Las Vegas in the early 80s, and there wasn't a lot of sports going on. There was, of course, the UNLV Running Rebels. But other than that, I don't know how much other sports there were at the time. Do you remember off the top of your head?
Oh, well, yeah, very well. It was April 84 that I got here. And the first week that I got here, the Utah Jazz played a split schedule, which you'll remember. They played some games right here in Vegas at the Thomas Mack. And it was 3 days after I got here, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar set the all-time NBA scoring record at the Thomas and Mack Center. So that was sort of a nice introduction here. And then a month later, I saw my first big fight outdoors at Caesars, Tommy Hearns against Roberto Duran, second-round knockout. That was fun. We had the Las Vegas Stars back in the day out of Cashman Field. A lot of high school sports, motorsports at the small track, and then you got the big track, of course, built by casino developers here in town when that happened. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a total waste. Football was good back then, by the way. Rebel football with Harvey Hyde went 11-2 with Randall Cunningham at quarterback, won the California Bowl. So I thought football, and then Rebel basketball obviously was king back at that time. So I thought it was just going to keep on rocking, and we were going to do that. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. We were market 107, and TV and radio stations value judge their market size, and they put a number. LA is number two. New York's number one. LA is number two. Chicago is number three. So you get the idea. We're now, I think, 35. So it shows you how much Las Vegas has grown since that time. And I sort of feel like I've grown up with this city. Ira, sort of, you know, there's few people that predate me here in this city, but you are one of the few.
Yeah, 78, I think, was when I got here. Yeah, and I think once you got here, I sort of knew you. So we go back a long way. I wanted to prove my ignorance of sports even now by asking that question, and you just debunked everything I just said, which was, you know, other than the Running Rebels, what else were there? And of course, you just listed about 8 different things going on that I was not aware of. The one thing I will say now compared to then is that if there's a fight outside Caesar's Palace now, it's probably a gang fight.
It is not what it used to be. It is not Hagler Hearns, which was pretty much a gang fight with those two guys. I loved the big events back then, as did you. And we did it better than anybody in the country, the world. And I think we still do in so many ways. But, you know, you were a part of all that, certainly with your time at the Tropicana and different events that happened there and throughout the city. I mean, it did envelop the entire city. When there was those major fights that happened here in town. So I like those. They happen twice a year. You'd have a mega fight. And they call them mega fights nowadays. And I do sort of roll my eyes and shake my head and wonder, it's not really. Anytime Tyson fought, it was a mega fight. But anytime you put any of those middleweights or whatever weight class they were, it varied, certainly with Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, mm-hmm. Roberto Duran, and Tommy Hearns. when you welterweights, middleweights, when you put them together in the ring, any of those two, it was a mega fight here in town. And those were fun. Those were enjoyable.
You got me thinking that in all the times we've had you on, and you've been on a dozen times over the years, when we talk sports, we really didn't talk that much about boxing, or even I'd like to talk a little bit about wrestling as well. But boxing is a sport, and yet I don't think we've ever talked about it. So I'm glad you gave the history a little bit of boxing in Las Vegas. It's always a major draw for visitors to Las Vegas, obviously, and the locals as well. So do you look at it now and say, okay, how does boxing compete with everything else we've got here, Vegas Golden Knights, the Raiders, et cetera?
It doesn't really. I mean, it doesn't. And I've always put sports into three categories. And category one is mainly for the tourists, and that would be the big boxing major events. Number two would be a hybrid that would be for both. It would be for tourists and out-of-towners. I think the Speedway does that. I mean, tourists and locals. I think the Speedway does that quite a bit, very well. Locals go out there to the track, and out-of-towners come in, and you get large events out of the Speedway. And then the third one would be just for locals, and that would be like the Stars and the Rebels. Mm-hmm. And now they are the Aviators. The Stars were back in the day. They were the 51s for a while. But so I put them in those three categories, and those big fights, though, were always that did what Las Vegas does best, is bring people in from out of town and spend a lot of money and generate that and make it fun for locals here. I think, I mean, the town has changed a lot since then. So we're talking about back in the day when I think we did it right. But you know, it's if you look at local sports, you're going to fit in one of those three categories here.
Do you think F1 had a positive or negative effect on the Speedway?
Good question on the Speedway. I think it will have a positive effect on the Speedway. I think, whether it did or not, whether it has or not, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't talked to Jeff Motley about that, and at some point I will, the PR guy for the Speedway. But I don't think it could hurt. I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it just – I like motorsports. Okay, racing is racing, and I love going out there for NASCAR race coming up in March. Now we have that twice a year happening here in town. And F1 in November – the week before Thanksgiving is traditionally a very slow week for Las Vegas. Not anymore. It's a very big week in Las Vegas. I understand it's very disruptive for those areas around the Las Vegas Strip, but still it's here for the long term, I believe, and they're going to get better every year.
For our listeners and viewers who may not be aware of what the Speedway is, they probably recognize everything else you've just talked about. What is the give us a short or concise history of the Speedway, how it came to be in Las Vegas and what it does.
Sure. I know it well, and I appreciate you asking this question. This was Richie Klein, who was the son-in-law of Ralph Engelstad, who owned the Imperial Palace. And Richie Klein called me up in 94, something like that, maybe 95. And said, "Hey, Ron," he knew I was a little bit of a racing nut. Growing up in Southern California, there's a lot of motorsports there. And so he said, "Hey, we're building a big track, mile and a half oval, out way in North Las Vegas." At that point, it was way out of town. And so he said, "You got to come and see the plan." So I went over to the IP, saw the great auto collection that they had there that Ralph Engelstad had. And he showed me then he took me into his office, showed me the plans, took me out of the Speedway, showed me the dirt. In fact, you could see that on YouTube when he did this. When I went out, I took a cameraman with me and shot it as a news story. And then we went out there to that dirt lot where they were just starting to move. The excavators were just out there starting to move dirt, the big caterpillars. And then Bill Bennett was also involved, who at that time owned Sahara, former owner of the Circus Circus.
William Bennett, right.
Yeah, and you know the late Mel Larson. All of these people have passed on except for Richie Klein. And Mel Larson also very much involves Circus and what he was. Anyway, they all put their money together, about $100 million they put into it. They sold – well, actually, they didn't spend – they sold it for $200 million. So I think my numbers are pretty accurate here. They put about $100 million into it. Richie Klein, interesting story. I don't know if you know this one, Ira. Richie told me he had to buy – 31 separate pieces of land out there that the Speedway and the industrial complex sits on to be able to do this from different people. Some was BLM land, some was from private owners, and he couldn't let them know what he was doing or else the price would go through the roof, sure. Right? If you know the track. So he had to create separate companies to start to buy up all these separate little pieces of land. Then after they owned it for a couple of years and had some great races, got a NASCAR Cup race out there in 98, 97 was the first IRL race out there, Indy Racing League. They then sold it to Speedway Motorsports for $200 million, so they made themselves a nice little profit. And then the late Bruton Smith at Speedway Motorsports has taken that track to the next level. Chris Powell, general manager, his final race as GM is going to be this this March, next month. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving as GM there, and he's been there throughout. And they've just done a marvelous job at local. They don't get the credit they deserve, I think, quite often from people.
It's somewhat low key. Okay, I have another question you can ask him as well, and that is, you mentioned the antique car collection that used to be at the Imperial Palace. Did they take any of those antique cars and run them on the Speedway?
Not that I ever saw.
That'd be a great promotion, right?
Yeah, that would have been fun. I never saw them out there. It wouldn't surprise me if they did something like that, because I'm not sure where they are, if they've all been sold off at this point. And the Ingolstadt Foundation is still very active here in the Valley with a lot of charities and stuff. So they, that's a good question, Ira. I wonder what next time I see Richie.
Yeah, please ask.
Where'd all the cars go, and did you ever drive them out on the track there?
Yeah, maybe they sold them to Jay Leno, and that's where they are these days.
Oh, he's got some warehouses in L.A. with a lot of great cars.
Yeah, that would be a great tour in and of itself. No, that's a great history, and thank you for that. When you look at what's happening now with the Raiders, and I'm posing as an expert here, which, of course, I'm clearly not. I'm actually a certified non-expert in sports, so I'll ask the question from a civilian point of view. What's the deal with the quarterback situation with the Raiders?
There are no Raiders experts. Okay. There's no such thing right now with everything that's going on with them. What is the quarterback situation? They don't know. They're not sure. They've got two guys that are nice guys, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, who are nice backup quarterbacks, I think, for an NFL team, but I don't think they're starters that can take and lead you to the promised land in the NFL. They have a new coach, Pete Carroll. I like that idea. He's coming here. Chip Kelly is the offensive coordinator, just off winning a national championship with Ohio State. So Mark Davis, the team owner, is putting a lot of money into the coaching staff. They've got a lot of salary cap space this year, Ira. So if you've ever thought about becoming a quarterback, you might want to go out and start in the backyard, start working on your throwing arm and see what can happen.
Okay, yeah, wrench my back, of course, sir. Why not?
The problem is there aren't quarterbacks available right now in the NFL. Right. There's nobody that's a free agent. Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, the former Raider. There might be a trade for him. That's been rumored about. Aaron Rodgers is a free agent now. And I know as I say all these names, people are all rolling their eyes. But in the draft, there aren't great quarterbacks there. So they've got to figure this out and hope they get lucky with something. The nice thing for the Raiders is Tom Brady is part owner. He owns 5% of the team. And he is, from what I understand, he's in charge of a lot of things right now. He's making some things happen with this team. He's not a silent owner. And I think that's a good thing. No offense to Mark Davis. Well, maybe this is a little offensive to Mark Davis, but I would take Tom Brady any day over Mark Davis for making football decisions.
So what you're saying is, although his ownership is 5%, his influence is about 85%.
I hope so. And I don't know how he'll do as running a football team. That's different than winning Super Bowls, but he has won 7 Super Bowls. So I like the Raiders' odds on going big with Tom Brady in making some of these decisions. And I think you can see Tom Brady in some of the decisions that they made already with Pete Carroll as head coach and where they go from here. But so the positive thing, NFL has, I won't go into this too deep, but they have a hard salary cap, meaning you can't go over, and I don't know what it is. It's close to $300 million, might be $280 million for your entire team of what you can pay for your salary. And the Raiders have $100 million in cap space, so that's second most in the NFL. So they've got some money to spend on free agents right now, and I expect that they're going to be spending some money during this offseason. I hope so for local fans. You know, it'd be nice to cover a winning team instead of what we've got right now.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nice. Do you think that since Tom is 5% owner of the Raiders, he could be out on the field 5% of the time?
No, they would have to change the NFL rules.
Okay.
You cannot own the team and play on the team. Okay.
I don't see a problem with that. I don't know why you can't.
Yeah, they did change. Okay, change it. He'd have to give up his ownership, which he ain't going to do that. But interesting enough, Al Davis, the father, of course, of Mark Davis, he was coach of the team and part owner of the team. That was okay under NFL.
Yeah, so there you go.
And that part was fine in the early days of the Raiders, 60, around there. So
I want to get into buildings a little bit, in the sense that you've been not only a force here in Las Vegas, but I've seen you in L.A. at the L.A. Kings when they played the Vegas Golden Knights, and so you get around. You're not just here in Vegas all the time, so you can compare and contrast. When you look at the stadium, and of course it's probably not fair because it's a brand new stadium in a sense, but compared to other stadiums you've been to, reporting on, or even just as a fan, how do you stack up Allegiant Stadium to other stadiums around the country?
No, it's right up there. Come on, I had a Super Bowl there last year.
I know.
Yes. Allegiant Stadium is, I'm not going to call it the mountaintop, but for what they spent, $2 billion, I'm going to round it up a little bit, maybe 1.9, but $2 billion on that stadium. It's magnificent. I've been to SoFi a few times down in L.A., And Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, spent $5 billion on that facility. That's a better facility, but it costs a lot more. It was all his own money, not room tax money. So that was sort of nice because he's got a lot of it. he married a Walton, too, by the way, did Stan Kroenke.
So not the TV Walton family, but the actual Walton family with Walmart.
Yes, not John Boy.
Okay, and just checking.
Yes, so they've got plenty of money to do that, to do what they did in building that facility there. So I think you got to put these two West Coast facilities as number one and two, with Allegiant Stadium with SoFi number one. Because so much money was put into it.
Right, but even if it's own money, it's Southern California where. It's just more expensive to do stuff.
Oh, good point. Yeah, $5 billion doesn't go as far in Southern California as it does here in Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at from your viewpoint, and I called you a sports historian, and I mean it earlier because you know so much stuff about the history of sports, especially in Las Vegas, that do you see, given what we've seen in the last 20 years in terms of teams coming here and events coming here, is there something you see in that we don't see in the horizon that will be as meaningful as what we've seen when the Vegas Golden Knights got here, when the Raiders came here, when they built Allegiant Stadium, et cetera? Is there something that you are aware of that you might want to share that we don't know about that can make that kind of an impact?
Yes. And one of them involves your old property there with the Tropicana.
The world famous baseball. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. As spring training begins right now, it's nice outside here. By the way, if you see any aliens behind me, warn me. Okay.
I'm watching.
Little green men pop up.
I've got your back. Yeah.
No please problem. Let me know.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay. But what's happening there at the Tropicana this spring, they're going to break ground on a new facility that's going to be, now it's at $1.75 billion. The Fisher family is going to build with 90% of it being their own money. A few of it's going to be tax dollars from a special room tax. Well, not a room tax, sorry. It's going to be a special use district tax that if you go there, you'll pay a little bit of a tax to be able to fund the stadium there. So John Fisher is doing that, bringing the Oakland A's here. They're playing in Sacramento for 3 years. And then in 2028, they're going to be playing there. Vegas is looking towards another Super Bowl. They've already put in with the NFL to try to reserve 2029 for a Super Bowl here. We've got the national championship in college football coming here in 2028. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That college football playoff has done very well. And so I'm looking forward to that being here in Las Vegas. And then there's going to be an announcement within a year, I'll say, of the NBA expanding to two more West Coast teams. That'll be Seattle and Las Vegas.
That's most
likely.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I want to go back to something you said, though, about the A's, and that is, in times past when you've been on the show, we talked about it. It always seemed to be somewhat nebulous as to when the A's actually, whether the A's would end up in that former Tropicana property or be somewhere else, and whether it was going to be on schedule, and whether they were going to include a hotel in the front or not a hotel. I mean, there were all these different permutations and scenarios about what was going to be there. Are you convinced that what you just said is now in cement and that's going to be the situation?
Yes. Contracts are signed. Baseball wants it to happen. Baseball voted, MLB owners voted 30-0. That's sort of a blowout. I think that would be unanimous.
Yeah, I think so. 30-0. Yes.
To approve the move from Oakland to Las Vegas. So baseball wanted it. Now I could sit here and bag on Oakland for another half hour if you want me to. I won't, but there are a lot of reasons.
No, you don't have to.
There are a lot of reasons why they're leaving Oakland. And they wanted another city to go to, and Vegas presented itself, and here you go.
But why was it so messy, so vague, so not specific
the
way other things have been in town?
If you look back, there were some issues early on with where the Raiders were going to play. That stadium was going to be in the parking issues and stuff with that. So there have been questions with that. They switched locations once. The first announcement was going to be on the Wild Wild West property, just west of Tropicana.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, by the way, Ron, that there are dogs on the moon?
They are here. They're big. But I'm fast. I can get out of the way if I need to. they are here. I'm keeping the neighbors awake. There have been some question marks. I think most of it has been people in Oakland disturbed about the A's leaving, who have created more angst than there actually was, and more questions and more issues and more. There was this one group that started up called Schools Over Stadiums, which was a ridiculous argument. This is not schools, and they were trying from legal means to try to stop the stadium from being built here in Las Vegas. They failed miserably. Because that's not the issue. And by the way, there's going to be more tax revenue here for more schools to be able to be built once the A's are here settled and being able to create a tax base. It's interesting that, all of this has happened in Las Vegas, not by accident. There's a lot of people, and I can name them all. You know them all well. Here we could start with Steve Hill at the Convention Authority, who made a very concerted effort when sports betting changed nationwide. 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed sports betting in other states. So the major sports teams then had to reconcile how they could have sports betting in a state and have a team located there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reconciliation was good for Las Vegas because they said, well, then Vegas can have major league sports teams and sports betting can be there in your state because we're doing it in 36 states, I think, right now, is sports betting is legal in. And so there's that crossover already. And so they had to, the reconciliation was, we're not stopping this sports betting thing. It's happening. So we have to live with it. And Vegas, by the way, hey, you want some teams? Let's go. And the first one to jump on that, of course, was the Vegas Golden Knights and Bill Foley. And they marvelous what they have done here. Winning a Stanley Cup in six seasons is just is remarkable. And they've captured the heart of this community in ways I love hockey. So that it didn't surprise me in that sense, but it even outdid my high expectations.
Sure, especially when you think about, again, you're in the middle of the desert, the idea of a hockey team when it was first proposed, and there have been hockey teams before in Las Vegas, but it just never stuck. There was always an issue. Yeah. And then it was, the timing and the events and everything that happened, and with the push from Foley, I mean, it just made it work.
And ownership made it work. I mean, they made it work with Foley putting the money he put in to make this happen, to promote the team. He's always right up there against the salary cap. Salary cap, for the, since we talked about that already, for NHL is around $90 million. He's always right there at the edge of that cap. He's, going to spend that money, and it shows with the players that he has. And they do some wheeling and dealing. George McPhee, the general manager when they first came here, and he's still involved very much with the team. And Kelly McCrimmon have made that happen over the years. And to their credit, it's been very successful. They've been a Stanley Cup playoff team every year except one. They're in their eighth season. They're going to be Stanley Cup playoff team again this year, and they could make a run at winning it all.
It is amazing, the emotional connection with the, for those who don't get a sense of it that are listening and watching from out of Las Vegas, but the emotional connection between the team and Las Vegas, just, you see it everywhere, wherever you go.
And it happened quickly.
Very quickly.
It happened quickly. And so that was nice, because it the sports emotion that we saw here in town with the UNLV Running Rebels, with that basketball team. I mean, there was everybody in town loved them. There was embraced the team, embraced winning, embraced Tark. They were Rebels. They fit sort of Nevada, the bad boy image of the state. I think we like that. And I did, at least. I thought it was attractive. It was to a lot of people around the country, around the world, really, that watched Rebel basketball. And the Vegas Golden Knights have done a similar feeling, I think, with the community here, to be able to embrace. And that's important to have, as we noticed when we lost it for Rebel basketball for so long and haven't really had it regained yet. It hurts to lose that emotional tie that you have with your sports teams. And it didn't have to happen. I'm not going to go into all the details there, because we don't have 6 hours. don't get me into those battles, because I can go for 6 hours. You lived here at the time, so you obviously knew what was going on with the battles between the university and basketball coach. But now it's fun to see the Vegas Golden Knights and the Raiders come here. I think the A's and whichever NBA a new NBA franchise that comes here eventually will help that as well.
My last question before I let you go, and I already know the answer based on what you've been talking about, is, are you looking at the next 5 years in Las Vegas? Are you optimistic, neutral, or pessimistic about the future of sport?
Yes, absolutely optimistic about where it's going, that it's happening. More sports isn't necessarily better sports, but if you do it right, it can be. And we've been doing it right here in Las Vegas. You know, we'll work out the problems. We'll work out the issues if there's problems here. We've got a very pot. What I love about Las Vegas, and Ira, you're part of it. You know it, is that we've always had a very positive attitude about making good things happen. And I know it's changed. I hear all the local complaints, and I would agree with them that it ain't the city that it used to be. You're right. It is not. You know, I can't go find the maitre d' at the show and hand him my ID and $20 and get a seat in the front row anymore.
You can't even do that with the valet guy anymore either.
Can't even do that. And you got places charging, yes, for parking. You got MGM started that with the parking charges. So anyway, I get it. And I would agree with you on all that, with everybody that wants to, the naysayers on that one. But it has been fun to see how sports tourism, because that's a big deal now, is sports tourism, how it was planned to make it happen this way. And it's working for Las Vegas. I think it'll continue to work for the future with all the major events that are coming here. The Final Four for the NCAA basketball tournament is coming here in 27. The hockey Final Four is coming here in 26. So let's, you know, it's crazy, all the things that are going to be happening here in Las Vegas that are scheduled. And Nothing's going to slow it down, I don't think. We've seen, Ira, you and I have seen so many transitions. You've seen more than I. We were a family town for a while. That didn't work out too well, but we've been the party club town. We've been the culinary town. We've been the gambling town. We've been the entertainment town. And now we're also a sports town with sports tourism, and we can be all those things. You know, it has to be managed carefully. You know, that part has to be done properly. But so far, I'm optimistic about who's in charge, what they're doing, and how they're making it happen.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been veteran journalist Ron Futrell. He's 8 News Now sports anchor reporter. And for everything about Ron, you can follow him on X at Ron Futrell and on YouTube at Vegas Sports. And Ron, thanks again for being on the show. It's always a pleasure.
I think my ride has arrived from Cape Canaveral.
The green guys are behind you now.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm calling George Knapp. Get pictures of him.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ira.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. When you